Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. Amen. We've come to a time in our worship service where we're going to spend a few moments together studying God's Word. So if you find your Bibles with me, please, at this time. And you see here on the screen, we have a couple of passages we're going to be looking at together in the book of Deuteronomy. So we've been in Exodus, we've been in Numbers, now we're in Deuteronomy, which is the fifth book of the Old Testament. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy. And you have to go kind of all the way towards the end. We're looking at just a few passages in the last couple of chapters, and so a few things in Deuteronomy 31, then later on in Deuteronomy 32, and then really the whole chapter 34, which is a pretty short chapter this morning. So as you're finding that this morning, I want to start off with a question to ask of you to sort of consider throughout our time together. And that question is this: what gifts are we leaving behind? What gifts are we leaving behind? Today we have made it to the final moments in the life of Moses. We have been with Moses since May. And we've been looking at various circumstances and situations in his life that helped shape and mold him into who Scripture calls him to be, this man of God. And so we began many, many weeks ago, and we talked about how his character was shaped by influential people early in his life. We talked about a call that God had placed on his life, one that he answered with extreme hesitancy. We talked about the various levels of reception to that call, the vacillating approval rating that he had as he tried to follow that call. We talked about his faith in the people of Israel, their faith in God after centuries of slavery, how they would still follow God and execute the Passover meal that came. We talked about their initial travel into the desert and how the ways that God had provided. We talked about covenant renewal at Mount Sinai and the call for Moses and for the people and us as well to be go-betweens. We talked about how Moses spent time alone with God and how that helped him navigate those difficult circumstances that were in front of him. Specifically, we looked at the time with the golden calf. We talked about how Moses beheld the glory of God and we talked about how Moses had to deal with this fear-infused report about the promised land. And in the midst of all of that, including last week as well, we talked about all the grumbling, remember? And last week with the striking of the rock. And now we have come to the last few chapters here of Deuteronomy. It has been a lot that we have gone over, and I hope for you it has been good. For all of us it has been good as we've looked at the life of Moses. And now we come to these few verses that detail Moses' final faithful actions. What we're going to do this morning is that we're going to respectfully take a few sneak peeks at these sacred final moments. And as we do, I want to encourage you to pay attention. Pay attention to what gifts Moses is leaving behind. Because we'll come back to the question that we asked earlier for us. What gifts are we leaving behind? So let's read these passages together. Let's start in Deuteronomy chapter 31, starting in verse 1. Please follow along as I read aloud. Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old and am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with these people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So Moses wrote down this law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. Then Moses commanded them, at the end of every 7 years, in the year for canceling debts, during the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, you shall read this law before them in their hearing. Assemble the people, men, women, and children, and the aliens living in your towns, so they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and follow carefully all the words of this law. Their children who do not know this law must hear it and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Now jump down to chapter 32. We'll start in verse 44. Moses came with Joshua, son of Nun, and spoke all the words of the song in the hearing of the people. When Moses finished reciting all the words to all Israel, he said to them, take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. They are not just idle words for you, they are your life. By them you will live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. On that same day, the Lord told Moses, go up into the Abarim range to Mount Nebo in Moab, across from Jericho, and view Canaan, the land I am giving the Israelites as their possession. There on the mountain you have climbed, you will die and be gathered to your people, just as your brother Aaron died on Mount Hor and was gathered to his people. This is because both of you broke faith with me in the presence of the Israelites at the waters of Meribah, Kadesh, in the desert of Zin, and because you did not uphold my holiness among the Israelites. Therefore, you will only see the land only from a distance. You will not enter the land I am giving to the people of Israel. And then we're going to jump to chapter 34. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah, across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land, from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, this is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor, but to this day no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all these miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Amen. So what gifts did Moses leave behind? The first gift, at least chronologically, and the first one we'll talk about here today, might be the easiest gift for us to miss. It is the gift of acceptance. Moses leaves the gift of acceptance. If you jump all the way back in your Bibles, leave them open with me as we study this passage, these passages together. We're going to jump around quite a bit this morning. So go all the way back to chapter 31, to the second verse, verse 2. Moses is speaking. He says, I am now 120 years old and am no longer able to lead you. But it's not that Moses, who is 120, it's not that his back is giving out. It's not that his mind isn't as sharp. It's not that he's got some aching knees or anything like that, that he's physically unable. No, we're told in chapter 34, his eyes were still strong and his strength was still there. He is a man that is still full of strength and still full of vigor. But it was time for the people of Israel. They're at the doorstep of the promised land. It is time for them to receive the fulfillment of God's centuries-old promise. And they were to be going, and they would go without Moses. We heard it once, we heard it twice, we heard it three times, maybe even more times in these snippets of passages, reference to what we talked about last week, that Moses would not be entering into the promised land. Though he's strong, though he's full of life, though he's fully capable of still doing so, Moses accepts that his time has come. And last week, we didn't name this, but we could have, right? At Kadesh, last week, when Moses struck the rock and made it all about himself instead of honoring the holiness of God, right? Moses, in this week as well, we do not see this as well. Moses does not make a fuss about this, what, in my opinion, I shared that last week as well, fairly harsh punishment. Moses doesn't make a fuss. And I think we are all too familiar with the alternative, yes? Because Moses certainly could have made a big stink about it. He could have thrown a monster hissy fit. He could have rallied the masses to his side. He could have bemoaned the fact that, God, this is so unfair, right? Moses could have tried to storm Mount Sinai where he had met with God and to have words with God. He could have tried to fight back against this. But Moses didn't do any of that. And that is a gift to the people. And it's an incredible example to us, an example of what it means to trust and to honor and to respect God's will and God's ways. To accept what God says, even when it is hard. To accept what God says, even when it is not the path that we would choose for ourselves. I think it's a wonderful lesson of spiritual maturity for us. But I think it's also an incredible practical lesson for us as well. If God says it's time to step aside, we do so. Or, a simple example, when these knees and these hips tell me it's time to stop running and start walking, we listen to that body, yes? Or when it's time to hand over the keys because it's going to be safer for us or for others on the roads, we do so. Or if God calls us to go somewhere and we want to stay here, we do follow. I'm not saying any of that is easy. In fact, it's not easy at all. It can be incredibly difficult at times. And I have to imagine that Moses, it's not here in Scripture, but I have to imagine that Moses a few times, at least once, in the privacy of his own home, he grieved. He had heartache. But here in these passages, what a gift it is that he leaves for the people, that he accepts that the time has come for him to step aside so that the people can then move forward. And this gift of acceptance flows right into the next gift that Moses leaves. And that's the gift of affirming God. Complete affirmation of God. Moses names here in chapter 31, he is not the one who's going to lead the people to cross the Jordan. But then Moses immediately names, the Lord's going to go. And this is what the Lord will do. If you look in chapter 31, verse 3 and following, right? The Lord is going to cross over ahead of the Israelites into this land that is unknown. He's going to create a path so that they can take possession of the land. He's going to, as he's done before, hand over the people's enemies. See, the people here, they're embarking upon a new adventure, a new challenge, a new land. They're going into unknown territory. But he's saying, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be terrified. You can be strong. You can be courageous. Why? Look at the middle of verse 6. Because the Lord your God is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Moses is affirming here what God will do and the incredible impact this can have and will have on the people. That's not the only thing that Moses does in the affirmation here. He does another thing. If you turn to chapter 32, most of chapter 32 is this, we didn't read a lot of it, we just read a little bit at the end, but most of chapter 32 is a song that Moses sings, and it covers a whole bunch of topics and a whole bunch of things in here. It's a lengthy song, a beautiful song, and I want us to focus on verses 3 and 4. I'll put them here on the screen. Moses, he names this. He says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. I love that some of the songs we sang earlier today. How great is the Lord our God. And Moses goes on, he says, He is the rock. God is the rock. His ways are perfect. All His ways are just. He's a faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is He. This is an incredible testimony that Moses is giving about who God is. His greatness. He's the foundation of our lives. His works are perfect. His ways are just. He's faithful and upright. Moses is affirming here to the people who God is and what God has done and what God will do before them. And I love this because, you know, last week we talked about, here's Moses who made it all about himself and did not honor the holiness of God. And here, up until the final moments of his life, he is pointing the people to the goodness and the greatness of God. This is a gift that he gives to the people, directing them to affirm who God is and what God does. And I want to ask us, Westview, do we have people like that in our lives? Do we have those people in our lives that regardless of the situation or the circumstance or the scenario, they are always bringing us back to God? Whether it be a concern, whether it be an anxious moment, whether it be a joy, whether it's sharing some wisdom about God or sharing an attribute of God, reminding us of God's peace when we're anxious, reminding us of God's love when we're hurting. Reminding us of God's strength when we're worn out. That regardless of the situation, they always help us turn back to God. Do we have those people in our lives? I pray so. And an important follow-up question is that are we those people for others? Are we helping others, regardless of the situation and scenario and circumstance, helping others to know who God is and what God has done and the promises of what God will do, pointing and affirming the goodness and the greatness and the grandeur of our God in any and every circumstance? Do we have those people, friends? Are we those people to others? It's a wonderful gift that Moses gives. Now, there's more here that Moses does. In fact, this next gift is remarkably tangible and has an incredible generational impact. Moses gives the gift of the law. Woo, the law, yay, right? The law. But I want you to check out a verse with me. Check out chapter 31, verse 9. Moses wrote down this law and gave it to the priests. And then a little later in chapter 31, we didn't read this part, but in verse 24 it says this. Listen to this. After Moses finished writing in a book the words of the law from beginning to end. Okay, Wesley, here's my challenge for us today. If you are bored this afternoon, we should have done this summer when all the kids are so bored. Now they're back in school, right? So kids, don't say you're bored this afternoon because this is what your parents are going to tell you to do. If you are bored this afternoon, here's what I want you to do. Pull out a Bible. Open it to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, most of Deuteronomy, almost the whole book of Deuteronomy is Moses preaching on the law. In fact, Deuteronomy means second law. And so what I want you to do is become like an ancient scribe, and I want you to rewrite the entire book of Deuteronomy by hand. And then tell me tomorrow how long that took you, okay? I expect lots of emails on this. Tell me also how bad your hand hurt. That's what Moses does here. This is what he did, right? And remember, he didn't have any Microsoft Word. He didn't even have the old school typewriter. Anybody remember those? He did not have voice to text. This is a labor of devotion and love. Because for Moses, he wanted the people of God to have God's law for generations to come. He knew the importance and the blessing of following God's law. He knew the power of these words that are so much more than just words. They are the will and they are the way of the Lord. He knew that this was a matter of life for the people. Jump to chapter 32 with me, to that second passage we read. Remember what it said in verse 47? I hope it perked your ears when we read it. Moses tells the people with the words of the Lord, he tells them to take this word to heart. And he's telling them, pass it along to your children. And here's why. Because he says they are not just idle words. They are your life. They are your life. The will and the way of God. The best practices of God. The law of God is life for the people of God. And Moses gives this charge to the people at the end of chapter 31 that we were reading there. He says, every 7 years when you gather for the Feast of Tabernacles and you're gathering together in the year of canceling debts, and when everyone is gathered together, men, women, children, and foreigners in your midst, he says, when everyone's gathered together every 7 years, read the law aloud to the people. Read it so that they can listen and they can learn to fear the Lord your God and follow carefully all the words of this law. Are we sensing how important this is to Moses? And thus how important God's word ought to be to us. And that's not just I have a Bible on my nightstand. I even have a Bible tucked away at my desk at work. I got a Bible next to the kitchen table or even a Bible on my phone. This is about reading God's Word and engaging God's Word and studying God's Word and interiorizing God's Word. That God's Word is so much more than just one of many options we turn to when we have a decision to make. Maybe I'll Google it, or maybe I'll take a poll and see what I should do and check the wind, which way it's blowing. No, the Word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. God's Word is where we go to. Why? Because these are not just idle words. They are your life. Moses gives this tangible gift of the law. And he also gives a very practical gift in nature. One of the other gifts he leaves is the transfer of leadership. Now God, of course, is always ultimately in charge of the people, but the people look to someone to lead them, someone who will represent them to God and God to them. And Moses has done so for decades and has done so with near flawless faithfulness. But his time is coming to a close. And Joshua has been chosen and groomed and commissioned to lead next. We first hear about Joshua all the way back in the book of Exodus, about halfway through, and it's in Exodus 24 where we're first told that Joshua is Moses' aide, his right-hand man. In Deuteronomy 3, God declares that Joshua is the one that he is going to commission to be the next leader of the people. And this is affirmed by God later in chapter 31, where we were reading a moment ago. Later on, God says this to Joshua. He says, "Be strong and courageous, for you will lead these Israelites into the land I promised on oath, and I myself will be with you." That's what God specifically says to Joshua. And God's intentions of leadership are affirmed by Moses, as Moses assists in the succession of leadership. And we find Moses in these passages, he does three things specifically. One of the things we saw and read about in chapter 34 is that Moses laid hands on Joshua. And Joshua is filled with the spirit of wisdom as he assumes leadership. And that reminds me of one of my favorite moments in the annual rhythm of ministry here at Westview. And that's when we ordain and install elders and deacons. When we ordain these elders and deacons, they come up here on the stage, kind of right where the pulpit is right now, and they kneel. And my favorite moment is when every elder and every deacon and every pastor who has been ordained before them, they come on up and they lay hands on them. Those who have served and have been in leadership, now ordaining and praying over those who come next. And even now, as I say this, I literally have like goosebumps as I think about it. So, you know what I'm thinking about is my own ordination. When I knelt on a stage and pastors came around me and laid their hands on me, it is a holy and beautiful moment of one generation passing along God's blessing to the next. And that's what Moses has done for Joshua. He laid his hands on him. By God's power, he was filled with the spirit of wisdom. It's a beautiful moment. Another thing that Moses does is he shares leadership with Joshua. We saw this in chapter 32. It's really subtle, it's easy to miss, but it says in chapter 32, verse 44, Moses came with Joshua, son of Nun, and spoke all the words of this song in the hearing of the people. He's got Joshua by his side, alongside him, affirming that he is the one who is a part of this leadership. A third thing that Moses does here is Moses simply gives a verbal affirmation. Back in chapter 31, verse 7, Moses says this. Moses summoned Joshua and said to him, "In the presence of all Israel." You catch that part? In the presence of all Israel. And so in front of everyone, the whole nation, Moses affirms Joshua. He affirms him by giving him the same charge that God will later give him. It's the same charge that Joshua himself will give the people when he takes over leadership. In Joshua chapter 1, he says, "Be strong and courageous. The Lord is with you. He's never going to leave you, nor is he going to forsake you." It's sort of like this peaceful transfer of power that we talk about in our nation from one president to the next. God has ordained that this is to come to be, and Moses affirms this transition for these Israelites who are embarking upon a journey of the unknown. And how settling that must have been for them as they're venturing into a new land, a new place, new challenges. Moses, who they've known, is no longer going to go with them, but Joshua is. And perhaps that invites us this morning, Westview, to reflect upon who the new and next leaders God is lifting up amongst us and how we can affirm them. Perhaps we can even think about roles that we occupy now. Who is God raising up to continue in ministry? Right? Let's just name. Who is the next pastor of Westview Church? Now, I am not announcing anything, all right? You can breathe, okay? It's okay. But let's just be honest here. Someday, I'm not going to be the pastor of Westview Church. That could be because God calls me elsewhere. It could be because I retire. It could be because I die. There's going to be another pastor. Who is God raising up to be that next pastor. We can pray about that. We can pray about who are the next elders and deacons that God is raising up to continue to lead with wisdom and discernment. You know, we're going to have a nomination process here in just a couple weeks. Who's God raising up? Who are the upcoming staff members that are going to lead specific ministries here in this place someday in the long, 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 long future from now? Because I love our staff, and I love who we get to work with, and I love who leads ministries here at Westview. But who's God continue to raise up with gifts that we can affirm? Or our ministry teams, of worship, children, youth, assimilation, hospitality, so many different ministry teams, mission, all these teams that who's the next people to come and continue to rise up and lead? And even just think about who are the next people that will be sitting in our seats someday that will continue on in ministry that God is leading us here at Westview Church. Moses affirms the transfer of leadership to Joshua. That's an incredible gift for them as they are venturing into the unknown. So let's look at one more gift that Moses leaves. There's so many of them here. We're going to look at one more. And this one is fairly simple and straightforward. Moses gives the gift of a legacy. In chapter 34, we read about how Moses, he climbs Mount Nebo, and with his God-aided ability, can you imagine seeing this on top of that mountain there, to see all the promised land and from Naphtali to Dan to Gilead and Negev, everywhere, and Moses sees all of it, and then he dies. And then we read about how Joshua, filled with the spirit of wisdom, assumes leadership. And then at the very end of the book, it comes back to Moses. And it shares these final words. Let's read them again together. Look at chapter 34, verse 10. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all the miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh, to his officials, to the whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all of Israel. What a remarkable legacy. And I am particularly struck by these words, whom the Lord knew face to face. The Hebrew word there for knew is a word we've talked about several times before. It's the Hebrew word yada, and it means an intimate knowledge. This is the kind of relationship that Moses had with God, as if they were face to face. Authentic, personal, intimate relationship with God. That's the legacy that Moses leaves. Yes, there's these crazy miracles, and they're highlighted here as well. And yes, there were times where his temper was turned up and there was mistakes made along the way. Yes, it was not always so smooth sailing, and the Israelites certainly took the scenic route more often than not through the desert. And yes, there were trials, and yes, there were foibles that are part of all of our paths. And yet, through it all, Moses was the friend of God. The Lord knew Moses face to face. Beyond all the other, Moses had a deep and abiding relationship with God. Moses leaves us with the gift of this legacy. It's an example for Israel. It's an example for us of what it is to have a relationship with God. And it's an unmatched example all the way until God's own Son, Jesus Christ, comes and He shows us what it means all the more to know God and to love God and to follow God. But until then, there was no one like Moses. And these last few verses here, they almost feel like something that could have been written on the backside of a tombstone, yes? If we knew where his grave was. Did you catch that little detail there? So interesting that's thrown in. And I know it's going to sound super cliche this morning, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think it causes us to think, you know, what will be written on our own tombstone? You know, that little dash that's between birth year and death year, what's that little dash going to represent? What legacy are we leaving behind? And I think that brings us back to our first question this morning. What gifts are we leaving behind? And that's a question that we can ask, not just after we're gone, or not even when we're in the final moments of life or on our deathbed. That's a question we can ask at any moment. In fact, today is as good a day as any, and right now is as good a time as any time to ask that question of ourselves. What gifts am I leaving behind? What gifts am I leaving behind to my family? To my friends? Co-workers, classmates, teammates? What gifts am I leaving behind to my faith community? To my local community? To this world that God so loves? What gifts are we offering that are going to make a lasting and powerful kingdom and gospel impact now and for generations to come? Could we leave gifts like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face? Westview, might we leave the gift of what it means to be men and women of God? Amen. For me, one of the gifts during this entire sermon series has been those moments where we have welcomed dear friends to come and share with us moments that have made them. And I am so delighted to invite Hayden Hickenbottom to come at this time. She's going to share with us a little bit about how God has shaped her into who she is today.
Morning, everyone. My name is Hayden Hickenbottom. I'm 16 years old and a junior at Waukee High School. When we started this sermon series and other members were sharing their stories, it got me thinking, what would I say? And I got worried because nothing came to mind right away. Sure enough, I was asked to speak about it and had to think real hard. Most nights, I would try and think of a memory or a moment that sparked it. I didn't have any sad or like tragic moments, which I believe, like, believe me, I know is a good thing. But then one night it finally clicked, Rocky Mountain High. That trip I took just to get away did so much for me than I could ever imagine. It's hard to imagine going with people around your age, say to be Christian, but their actions don't match their words. I was completely wrong. Everyone at Rocky was there for God. And just seeing all the teenagers there ready to worship and wanting to be there was enough for me to feel it. That same trip, I started to take notes, annotating, finally taking those steps to create that close relationship with God without it being feeling forced. I found a better understanding of what it was to be taught, what was being taught to me and implementing it to my life. That saying, I'm a Christian is okay, because it's not being overshadowed by the bad that they're mirroring. Mirroring? God showed me on that trip that I can truly accept my faith and spread it around to the people I interact with every single day.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Hayden. Appreciate you sharing this morning. Friends, this morning we have an opportunity to share in the Lord's Supper together, and I think it's very fair for us to say that this too is a gift given to us by Jesus, who invites us to come and to receive this Lord's Supper. It's a gift for when we come to this supper, we remember Jesus, who he is and what he's done for us, his life, death, and resurrection, that which has freed us from the sins that we commit, paid those sins in full, forgiveness is ours, and the gift of life everlasting found in his resurrection. This is a gift, because when we come around this table and we partake of the bread and the cup, we are having communion with our God through Jesus Christ and communion with each other. And when we come around the Lord's Supper, it's a gift, because here we proclaim the hope that is ours. That, yeah, today is maybe rough, and maybe tomorrow will be as well. But there will come a day when Jesus will come again and make all things new and all things right. All of that our remembrance, our communion, and our hope is the gift we receive when we come to the Lord's Supper. What a joy it is to be able to celebrate this together today. Before we do, would you please pray with me? God, we worship and glorify you this day for who you are and all that you've done. We heard Moses talk about that in our passage this morning, and we worship you, God, for everything that you've done and all that you are. You've created us. You've given us life and being. You take care of us. But most of all, God, we thank you for your gift, the gift of Jesus Christ, the eternal Word who has made flesh for us and for our salvation. And for this precious gift of a wonderful Savior who has made us right with you, God, we worship and adore your holy name. We declare those words, how great is the Lord our God. God, we remember now in this supper the perfect sacrifice offered once on the cross for the sin of the whole world, mine included, ours included. We thank you, God, that 3 days later that tomb was then empty. Death had been defeated. Jesus rose again from the grave. He secured life in his name. Thank you, God, for the gift of eternal life. And God, we remember this supper too, the hope that we have that there will come a day when all things will be made right and all things will be made whole. Your shalom will reign. It will be as it was always intended to be. God, thank you for the gift of Jesus. And now we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fall upon us. That as we eat this bread and as we drink this cup, it would be to us the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It would nourish us and strengthen us and encourage us as we seek to be the light of Jesus Christ in this world. May your grace fall afresh upon us today, O God. We pray all of this in the precious name of Jesus our Savior. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.